This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:07. You're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Morning. I'm here.
You're here?
Yeah.
You look good? Everything's...
I'm running on probably about one and a third eyes. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're making improvements.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
We have a good guest for our show this week. Dawn Lutz from the Montgomery County Recycling Program is our guest. Dawn, welcome. How are you today?
Fine. Thank you for having me, Tobin. Appreciate it. Uncle Ralph, good morning.
Morning.
We're going to talk about the recycling program, and we'll have that conversation right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, after many years of service, we remain committed to providing the most caring, professional funeral services in this area. It is our mission to provide each family with the very best in quality care during what is often the most difficult of circumstances. At Plummer Funeral Home, we have never taken for granted the confidence families place in us, and we promise to always go the extra mile to earn your trust. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Dawn Lutz is our guest. She is with the Montgomery County Recycling Program. And Dawn, let's start things off. Tell us a little bit about the recycling program. And those that don't know, give us a little background on it.
Okay. Montgomery County Recycling initially started back in the mid-1990s. At that time, the guy in charge was Don Gregg, who saw... a need that for future recycling, and got the county board on with him, and from that it has went from bringing in some 950,000, I think it was 957,000 pounds of recyclables to up to over 2.4 million pounds of what we're currently at, and that so you know over the last 15 years we definitely have grown. And that in that started out with a couple of drop sheds, Litchfield, Hillsboro, which have been with us forever since we've started. Since then, we now have 10 drop-offs around the area. Those would include Donaldson, Coffeen, Farmersville, Wagner, Raymond, Witt, Irving, Nokomis, and, of course, Hillsboro and Litchfield. And, of course, as everybody knows, the Litchfield drop shed right now is being sustained.
And we'll talk about that. We'll address that later on. It's just amazing to me how big this program has gotten. I've covered news for 6 years here, and it amazes me in that short of time how big this has grown.
Right, and we also, you know, pick up other businesses around the county, over 140 businesses, you know, in Litchfield and Tillsboro and the smaller cities and that, in which we always continue to get more recyclers to come on board and business-wise and try and help them out in their waste needs and stuff. And, of course, the community itself, trying to get them more involved in the recycling aspects and that around the county. You know, I know, like, in your bigger cities, they have, like, your curbside and stuff, and you know, being a smaller community right now, that's not something we're able to do, you know, fund wise and stuff, but you know, maybe down the road, you know, as things go, but you know, trying to get people to come to those drop-offs and service them as best we can and spread out throughout the area, you know, we've been talking to even some people in Fillmore that are, you know, looking to see if we could possibly come that way. I know Taylor Springs, they just put on a burn ordinance and that, so possibly be talking to them about maybe putting up a drop shed will help people with their waste needs and stuff to help offset that.
You mentioned burn ordinances, and I know the city of Hillsboro's got a pretty tough burn ordinance. Raymond's got their own ordinance in the books. Does that change the game a little bit, that focuses a lot of people to recycle?
Oh, absolutely. Just for instance, like Coffeen, we've seen that as they put on their burn ordinance, we had put up a drop shed back in, I believe it was 2007, and when we first started out with them, we picked them up at first maybe once a month, and then it got to be a couple times a month. We currently pick up Coffeen now every week. It has just been from that, and it has gotten more and more and more. I mean, almost to the point where we probably need to drop, you know, make a bigger drop shed. But at this point, we service it once a week, and that's helped out and stuff. So, and I see the increase in that with people. And they're just even my own household. I can, you know, for instance, I can tell you I can have a half a bag of trash with just a few days, mm-hmm. but my recycling is just overwhelming. Of course, I take it every day and stuff right. like that. So where I won't fill up a trash barrel and that, or the landfill per se, and that my recycling, as far as that goes, has really...
And you're right. It amazes me how much it adds up. You look at, I'll just say, like a tavern. Mm-hmm. Most of the where their bottles come from mm-hmm. are in cardboard containers, mm-hmm. and they have orders every week, and you know those add up quite a bit.
Right, and you know, and one of the things that people call us a lot about is glass. Okay, where can I take my glass? Years ago, of course, we had Hillsborough Glass Factory, mm-hmm. and they were our processor, so all we had to do was collect it and take it to them, and then they took care of it from there. There are certain you know, funds available in order to be able to, for us to process that. It's just a huge on-taking, especially as glass is starting to weed itself out and more plastic products are coming available. We did have a drive here a couple years back, and we only collected almost about 7,000 pounds of glass. Considering how low the price is on glass, it was really not that worth it. I'm not going to say, you know, mm-hmm. as far as throwing something away, yes, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. But as far as an economic point, you know, looking at it, what we were able to get and to find a processor to come and get that all the time, mm-hmm. the only one we could find would be like in Decatur. So they weren't willing to come down and pick us up all the time like that because it was an economic point for them too.
Two of the things that come to mind when we talk about recycling that can create problems or difficulty, I guess, would be glass. And another thing that comes to mind to me, living in the country, is you wore out tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are difficult things to get rid of. And there's so many of them.
Oh, absolutely. And I know here a few years ago, the state, you know, stopped doing their tire recycling drives or household hazardous waste drives, and that whether that's going to be coming something, you know, in the future or that. Of course, we have on staff our EPA inspector, Bill Gonnett. You know, he'd be great to advise anybody on what they might be able to do with their tires or their household hazardous waste at this time. So, but those are concerns of everybody in the county. We do get those calls.
Yeah, and, you know, as you stated earlier, as time goes by, we become more and more and more of a just plain throwaway society. You know, everything in our house, when you prepare a meal and you know, open the cans or plastic containers or whatever, and it's throwaway material. As you stated earlier, it's no time until you got that bag full of
absolutely
things to throw away.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I can sit there and cook one meal and 90% of it is recyclable. 90% of what I've opened up or, you know, went to prepare, the container or the package is recyclable. And I think more people, if they kind of looked at that aspect, okay, what is going to be, what can I recycle, you know, when I buy it, and that they might look at things a little bit differently.
Are you prepared? We were talking about this during another show. Right now, the push is electronics recycling. There's legislation now that requires more electronic recyclings. Are we prepared? Are you guys prepared to handle anything, let's say, state throws your way?
Well, what we've done in the past, this will be our fourth year. We do have a drive that we put on once a year, our electronics drive. That has helped offset a lot of, you know, your older TVs. We've seen a lot of those come through. One of the things that I'm getting now, you know, is where, you know, because of the ban, where can we drop them off 24/7? Where, you know, where can we go? And honestly, there's no good answer for that. So we're trying to maintain what we can. It's not like you're, you know, your TV's running around the house bothering you, if you put it off in the corner and you can wait until we have our drive, we'd so much appreciate it, and we'd be able to take it off your hands. And this year we've decided that we'll have a couple of drives, so to help offset that, one in the spring, one in the fall. Now before we did have a two-day drive, you know, for so many hours on a Thursday and a Friday. This year, we're looking about April 28th. Haven't set that in gold. We'll know more about that towards the beginning of next month, and we'll get that out there and stuff for everybody. But it's going to be on a Saturday. We're looking about maybe 8 to 3 on a Saturday. And then if that doesn't work out, because I just want to try the one-day drive just to see how it works. Doesn't work out, then in the fall, then we'll go back to the two-day drives and see how that works.
And that helps, mm-hmm. having it on a Saturday, because I know a lot of people – I think they work.
Yeah.
Are they try?
For the residential part of that, that's right. Going to work. You know, more of the businesses and stuff like that, that it would bring us truckloads of stuff. They might have a little bit harder time getting it to us. But, you know, we'll talk to them and we'll make accommodations and we'll see what we can
do. How many times has someone driven up to the Litchfield or Hillsborough facility, mm-hmm. and said, you know, here's my recyclables, but, you know, I got this printer here. Can you, you know,
you know, for those
take it
that,
in?
For those that actually tell us and come in, you know, we try to accommodate and stuff. You know, I do have a little bit of an overflow right now. But we don't suggest that because...
Even with the new office? Even with the new wing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just had somebody come in the other day. I mean, they're really nice. They come in and this is the ones that, you know, you drive up and it's like, well, now who left that there? You know, so we do get the occasional drive off, so. But anyway, people are pretty nice. They come in and ask. And, you know, if I tell them, well, we're going to have one in April. Okay, well, I'll hold off. I'll wait, mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, they're pretty nice about it and stuff. And we really appreciate that.
And even in electronics, with all the things we have now in electronics, a lot of those are entering into the throwaway when something goes wrong with them. You can them and get another one. And so this adds more stuff to the heap of recycling.
Oh, absolutely. And like with us, the first year we did this on the electronics part of this, we had 5 semi-loads full of electronics. And that, and I mean, it went really well. The next year, another 5. Last year, like 4. And as we'll see, as things get streamlined and, you know, everything's going to weigh less and stuff, we'll start to see less and less trucks. But I don't see that we'll see any less units, you know, per se. And that, and we do take a little bit more than what they actually have banned from the landfill. The ones that we partner with, Com2 Recycling out of Carroll Stream, and that they're able to recycle almost every component, as far as I know, of, like, if it's a speaker, they've got an avenue to get rid of the plastic and the wiring and any other circuit boards and how they break them down and stuff. They recycle. They do all the disassembly there. And the best part about it is, as I've seen that full circle, is they will send me all the serial numbers and the model numbers of everything that they deconstruct, so I know for sure that that's where it is.
Tell us a little bit about what happens. Let's say you bring a whole bunch of cardboard to the Hillsborough Center or to a drop shed. What happens to all the recyclables? Do you have a company, is it Com2 that you work with, or what happens to that?
No, on a daily basis, we recycle 7 different types of materials. Cardboard, our office paper, our magazines, newspaper, aluminum cans, steel cans, and of course our plastics, which are just basically plastic containers with a recycling symbol on it, with a number 1 through a number 7 on it, located mm-hmm. on it. I know some people think we probably recycle anything that's plastic, but like PVC pipe and stuff like that, but if it doesn't have that number 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 on it, mm-hmm. we're not recycling it. But we will figure out a way to, you know, either get it out of our mix or find somebody that'll take it if for some reason it comes to us. But as far as like the cardboard and everything that we recycle on a daily basis, what happens from the drop shed, we bring it inside. We have a baler, which is, there's also a pit that mm-hmm. we drop the cardboard into. Now, if you put your magazines or your newspaper in that cardboard, we physically are going to pull that out, put it in a different container, and wait till it's time to bale newspapers or magazines. So, I mean, it's very tiring and physical for pulling everything out of there. So if you imagine if you're throwing that in there saying, it don't matter, come out to the facility. We'd love to give you a tour and show you exactly how that works. But once we bale that material and that, weigh it, scale it, put it in the back, once there's about 42,000 pounds of that. We call for a semi-truck, and they come and get it. And they go anywhere from cardboard can go to Indiana, mm-hmm. go to Iowa, magazines, newspapers the same way. Office paper goes up to Wisconsin and that. Our plastics actually go to Chicago, Chicago Ridge and that. So, I mean.
And then you get reimbursed that
yes,
way?
Yes, yes. We run strictly on our revenue and that. So.
And the revenue, has it been pretty steady over
you
the years?
Know, in 2008 when the economy crashed and stuff, I mean, the material just went poof, down. There was times we could not even, trucks wouldn't even come, and that you could call for a truck and you wouldn't get anything. Then it finally started to come back up. You could start to see the economy boost a little bit. I think that was one of the best things for us, that we were county owned. That's what helped us, you know, mm-hmm. to stay alive. Because there was a lot of little recycling centers that shut down in 2008, 2009 that could not make it. So then from there, as we stuck around and we started seeing things coming back even better than they were before. And that, and so, and then this winter things slowed down a little bit because, you know, you've seen the process or slow down and say, wait a minute, we've got to catch up here. People aren't buying as much. Okay. So now things are starting to spring back, and that as spring comes in and stuff. So
let's talk about the Litchfield facility.
Okay.
Give us an update on what's going on with the facility. Obviously it was destroyed.
Yes.
Again, second time in what, less than 3 months by a fire?
Mm-hmm. 3.5 years, actually.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Not that quick. what's the status on that?
Okay, like Tobin said, it's been 3.5 years since it burnt. January 21st, it burnt again. This time it was a complete loss. We were looking at different locations, you know, talking with the city and that. You know, it's like, okay, burn it twice in the same place. Let's see. It was undetermined, you know, because of the way it was set. It was in a trash barrel. You know, somebody could have accidentally dumped their ashtrays from their, you know, car or something. They don't know, you know, short of seeing anybody there. So anyway, we thought, well, why don't we move location? Maybe something else would be better. And that, of course, we can't. I know we can't be 100% sure that it's not going to burn somewhere else, or vandalism right. may not happen, or whatever. But it's like, let's just see if we can do this. Well, we've looked at other properties, and that there was too many uncertainties about certain things, and some of the properties that the city owned were too far out. The current location, there's certain things that we can do now, especially like putting cameras in and that will help. Of course, it's not going to keep it from burning, but it's going to help in the long run to know how that's being started. And also we can set like trash containers outside and fence them off and that. So if anything burns, it's just going to be that. Set it up a little bit differently and stuff. So I think we're looking at rebuilding in the same location, be a little bit cheaper. It is actually a prime location. I mean, when you look at everything, with everything there, we have the loading dock, we have, you know, the new paving, and we have that fence, and we're going to even put up probably more fencing, you know, to help keep some of that from blowing over in the neighbor's yard and be a good neighbor on that. But so we're looking at getting that information out to contractors and that here in the next week and so and see what we get back and start from there. And hopefully in the next couple of months, we'll have her done, rebuilt, and a new drop shed and be back in business.
Not to be picky, is insurance sure. covering the cost?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's a good thing then.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So we'll look to rebuilding those parameters and stuff and see what we can do. But, you know, the people of Litchfield have been super fantastic about still bringing their stuff. We put some roll-off containers out there to help offset a lot of that. Cardboard, plastics, and newspaper have always been the hugest things that we collect, especially mm-hmm. from the Litchfield area. And so we've got like 320-yard trash roll-offs there. We've got some green totes for the newspaper and stuff, which actually those green totes equal about 3 Gaylords of material. So, and we just dumped them this morning. We've been getting quite a bit of material. I would just ask anybody that is not sure of what to drop off there, please give us a call anytime. And if you want, you can also service any of the other drop-offs that we mentioned, Farmersville, Wagner, Hillsboro, you know, more than welcomed and that. And as things go, and if you have other ideas of what we can do to help you out and help service, you know, the Litchfield area, please give us a call. We're not unopposed to ideas. That's the only way we can, you know, get better and make things flow a little better.
Obviously, you don't want to staff a person out there,
no.
but maybe set I don't know, a gate with the certain hours that that facility is open, so mm-hmm. that way there's a little bit more control who goes in and right. who goes out.
Right, and that was some of the ideas that was thrown out too. Okay, should we go ahead and lock this facility down once we get it built and that? And we will probably have the options set up to be able to do that. I don't feel that we're going to do that right off. Now, right. if vandalism does happen and stuff like that, that may be the option that we have to go with. Close it late at night and open it early in the morning, but we'll look at those options.
Most of the drop sheds are kind of locked or open during certain times, and that's it, correct?
Like Raymond, for instance, they have theirs that's and actually they're getting ready to open theirs. They'll be open from March to November every Saturday, mm-hmm. A couple hours and stuff like that. But they've chosen to leave theirs closed, which has worked, very, very well for them and that. But all the other ones, like Nokomis even, they're contained in a drop shed type facility like Hillsboro, like Litchfield. The other ones are like a three-sided roofed carport and that, which has worked out as long as it's not facing the wind. We've done pretty good at constructing those. Everything has been pretty decent. I mean, I have to say, for Montgomery County Recyclers, we do a pretty good job in that. The community has done a fantastic job at helping us keep things picked up and cleaned up. So.
And again, it's amazing to me how big this program has grown mm-hmm. over the short time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it continues to grow.
As we stated earlier, excuse me, we've become a throwaway society. And the more and more stuff we utilize, we buy at the store and bring home and use the contents, and then the rest is to be disposed of, it's going to keep creating large amounts of material that's got to go somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you just bring it on out to us, and we'll take care of it as things, get larger and larger, and as the future goes, maybe there's other types of things we can help accommodate better our community. And if, like I said, if anybody ever has any ideas, please give us a call.
We've got a couple minutes left here, Uncle Ralph.
I was just going to say that it's a very important program, because I've known since recycling has come along, the amount of debris that's thrown along my roads in the country has went down a lot. People have started using the facilities, and hopefully this will only get better.
And I'm not too sure of the years or that, but I know to a certain extent we have extended the life of the landfill, which continues to help our own community out. So if anybody and everybody can continue to recycle, and if you're new to the area or new to recycling, like I said, please ask anybody, give us a call. We will be willing to help you out and let you know where you can come to recycle.
Are you anticipating more changes to the recycling program?
I don't know about changes, but as things go, I would like to see us stay with things like I talked about, curbside recycling and right. stuff like that. There's certain ideas there that we might be able to work out with our communities and stuff in the future. We just have to, we need a little bit more space is pretty much all we would need for something like that. But hey, we can only do so much, but we're going to continue to do as much as we can. Recycling is something that does not stop. I did find that out.
you learned that fairly quickly, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. Just as long, and as well as like our electronics and stuff, that's something we started out just to see how it goes. Well, it's not something we can stop anytime soon.
So let's see here. We've got an electronics recycling drive that will be scheduled at the end of April, April 28th.
Is what tentatively, we're looking at, tentatively. Yes. Yes.
And then maybe one again, and then another one in the fall.
Yes.
Okay. So individuals with printers, don't bring them out. Just wait till April.
Please.
anyone seeking more information about the recycling program, is there a website, Facebook? Phone number
Absolutely.
That they can call.
Montgomery County website. Actually, it was just updated not too long ago, but it's montgomeryco.com. And you can go in there, look for recycling, and click on that. There's other links also attached on recycling. Or you can give us a call, 217-532-2088. And if you want to go to the Illinois General Assembly website to look at all the electronics that was added, that public act is 097-0287. Just look it up, read it, and...
And if you, someone comes out there and says, hey, show me just exactly what you guys do, you'll be glad to do that.
Absolutely, anytime.
Don, it's always a pleasure, my friend, to have you on the program, and look forward to our chats in the future.
Thanks, Don.
Uncle Ralph, next week we've got Sam Whitlow and Nikki Bishop. They're our guests on the Wednesday Talk Show. behave yourself.
I will try.
All right. That's going to do it for today's Wednesday talk show. Coming up on the flip side, the man, the myth, the legend, Earl Sarles with the market update. That comes up next. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening.